This is lesson HBS 131, and the name of this lesson and its start of a new series is called Gifts and Ministries in the Body, Part 1. Let's talk first of all about the body of Christ in ministry. And to do that, we're going to start off with Romans chapter 12, and let's read chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness." Folks, we're talking today about gifts and ministries in the body. And we can see here from these verses that I've just read you that Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is speaking to the Romans, and he's saying to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, let's not take that out of context. But he's talking about this in reference to certain gifts given by God to the body of Christ. And he's not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Why? Because God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And folks, not just any measure of faith, but the measure of faith to work these specific gifts that he's talking about here. So, let's go back and look at this just one more time, a little bit differently now that we know what we're talking about. Paul is saying not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly and realize as we're thinking that God has dealt to everybody in the body of Christ a measure of faith to work in certain giftings, offices, or ministries in the body. And then he goes on and says that all members have not the same office. And then he says in verse 6, we have gifts differing. What Paul is saying here is that every member of the body of Christ has been given certain gifts, offices, or ministries to operate in the body of Christ. And he's saying we shouldn't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, because these are gifts. These are something we've earned or something we've worked toward, and then we can look back upon and say, look what I've done. No, these are gifts. Just as if I gave you $50, you couldn't brag about how you worked hard and got that $50, because it would be a gift. And that's what Paul is saying here. God has given to the body of Christ certain gifts, callings, offices, and things of that nature that differ among the body. We have gifts differing, he tells us here. He says all members have not the same office. And then he goes on to a list a few of these gifts. Now, what I'd like to do in this lesson is bring out what some of these gifts, ministries, operations, and ministrations are in the body of Christ. And to do that, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to find out that almost all God has to say about gifts, ministries, offices, administrations in the body of Christ are covered in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. And so let's turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as I said, and let's read verses 14 through 18. And Paul here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is speaking to the Corinthians about the body of Christ. And he says in verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many." And he gives us an example. For example, if the foot shall say, "Because I am not the head, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? Of course it is, in other words. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Here again, God is telling us that we have gifts differing, that all members of the body do not have the same office. And we're not to look at each other in the body of Christ, and just because one isn't like us or has the same gifting, office, or administration that we have, that they're not as legitimate a member of the body as we are. And it's also saying that every member of the body is necessary if the body is to function properly. And so I know there's a tendency in the body of Christ sometimes, and as a teacher, I feel this myself at times. I'll go somewhere and I will maybe hear someone that has a ministry that's not my type of ministry, the one that God's gifted me with, and I'll think, well, don't they see that? Shouldn't they organize this a little bit better? Or here's another way this could be brought out, and I think it would be clearer. But see, I'm thinking of this from the standpoint of a teacher. And maybe a pastor is giving a sermon, or maybe an evangelist is giving an exhortation to the lost. And maybe his knowledge of the Bible in certain areas is not as detailed as I feel it should be, or as I think it should be to present the topic properly. I'm just saying here that there's a tendency in the body of Christ for those who have been given one gift to look at others that have other gifts and try to judge how well they're doing by a gifting that we don't even have. We don't have any idea about the ministry that maybe that they're operating in. We only really know about the areas that God has gifted us in. And so sometimes we're tempted to look at others and judge them by the giftings that God has given us. And it works the other way, too. Sometimes people will look at the ministry that I have, the teaching ministry, and they have a different ministry, like the evangelist possibly, and he says, well, all he does is teach about all these other things, and he's not even talking about saving the lost. He's talking about all kinds of other things and not giving enough attention to the lost. And that's the one message in the body of Christ that's most necessary. And the evangelist will look maybe at the teacher that way. Or maybe a pastor might look at a teacher and say, I don't see the love there that I feel when I minister to my flock, and the very great needs that they have, and the compassion that I have for the flock that God has given me to pastor. I just don't see that in this teacher's ministry. All I see is a bunch of A's, B's, C's, 1, 2, 3's, where is the love of the flock? Well, folks, I hope you see what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying the teacher shouldn't have a love of the other members of the body of Christ. Of course he should have. But I'm just saying that we've all been given different ministries, giftings, and administrations, and sometimes it's tempting for us to look at an ear and say, because it's not the hand, it's not of the body, or because they don't have the same ministry I have, they're not a valid part of the body of Christ, or to look down our nose, so to speak, at someone else, just because they don't have the same gifting, office, or administration that we do. So let's get into this a little bit and talk about some of these gifts and ministries in the body. And keeping in mind while we do this that we all have different gifts. Every one of us, all of us in the body, have some gifting, ministry, office, or administration that God has called us to operate in, and that we're to be careful as members of the body and not to look down at those members of the body who don't have the same gifting we do. And we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. So these are the preliminary thoughts I'd like to get across before I get into the subject of today's teaching. Now let's open up the Bible. I guess we'll just stay right where we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and begin to read. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. What is Paul saying here? Well, first of all, if you look in your Bible, the word gifts there is italicized, which means it wasn't in the original Greek. And if you look at the word spiritual, it should be plural in the Greek. Now let's go back and read this verse with these minor modifications. Now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. What God is saying to the Apostle Paul here is that he doesn't want us ignorant of spiritual things in the body of Christ. And so he goes on in this chapter and tries to clarify some of the things that he calls spirituals or gifts of the Spirit or really manifestations of the Spirit and bring greater knowledge to us concerning these things so we aren't ignorant, as he puts here in verse 1. Now let's skip down to verse 4 and start reading about what some of these are. Now let me just say that in verses 4, 5, and 6 here, there's a lot of meat of the word. And there's a lot of ways to misinterpret what's in here if we're not careful. But if we're careful and we read it just like it is and don't try to editorialize on the word, I think these verses will become clear. Now, I've studied these verses for a while, and I believe that God has brought some light to me that I didn't have before. So let me just read these verses and see if I can't bring forth some of the things I believe God's been showing me about these verses. Now, let's start with verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Now, first of all, one of the things that I think is kind of interesting here is that the whole Trinity is brought forth in these three verses. Three verses for the three persons in God. I never thought about it that way before, but as we read this, we see that in verse 4, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, or I should say, diversities of gifts by the Holy Spirit. And in verse 5, we're talking about differences of administrations by the same Lord. And in verse 6, we're talking about diversities of operations. It is the same God which worketh all in all. So you see here in verse 4, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, we're talking about the Lord Jesus. And in verse 6, we're talking about God the Father. Now, how do I know that Jesus is the one we're talking about when it says the same Lord? Well, Jesus is our Lord, and Jesus is called our Lord. And in verse 3, right above here, you see that it talks about Jesus being Lord. It says, Jesus, no one can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Jesus, folks, is the Lord. So in these verses, we have really all three members of the Trinity being spoken of, and we have three different gifts, administrations, and operations spoken of. So we talk about gifts or manifestations of the Spirit, we talk about administrations of the Lord, and we're talking about diversities of operations by God. And when God is spoken this way in the context it is here, where the Holy Spirit is mentioned and Jesus as Lord is mentioned separately, we can be sure they're talking about the Holy Spirit is talking about God the Father. Now, Godhead, we all know as Christians, consists of three persons in one God. God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus our Lord, and God the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. Now, in this case, when we're talking about the Spirit and the Lord, and then about God, we can be sure that we're talking here about God the Father in verse 6. So, there's a lot here, folks, and we're going to be spending some time talking about these various gifts administrations and operations spoken of in these three verses, and speaking also about the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God the Father and how they operate and bring about these gifts, administrations, and operations. Now, I hope that's not too abstruse, but I hope it will all become clear as we go along. Now, first the thing they talk about here in verse 4 is Paul wants us to not be ignorant of the fact that there are diversities of gifts, but they're all brought forth by one and the self-same Spirit. Now, let's start reading about this, and let's skip down now to verse 7. Verse 4 and then 7. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Here we talk about the gifts of the Spirit being really manifestations of the Spirit. And what is the difference here between a gift or a manifestation and something like an administration? Well, we'll talk about the administrations later, but we'll learn later that administrations are permanent giftings given to specific individuals or members of the body of Christ that are more or less permanent in their lives. Okay? But we're going to find out here in that these manifestations are temporary. There's something that's manifested, as we'll see here in a minute, as the Spirit wills. And they're not permanently residing gifts, like a ministry gift, say, like an apostle or a prophet or evangelist or a pastor or a teacher, which abide in those people on a permanent basis, that they are given once and for all to specific members of the body of Christ to operate in these gifts, or administrations, I should say, permanent things like apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers, or even separate things in individual members of the body of Christ, which we'll talk about later, that reside more or less permanently as gifts in these specific individuals. But that's not what we're talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here we're talking about specific manifestations of the Spirit that are given on a temporary basis as the Spirit wills to bring about something that will profit some member or group of members of the body of Christ. As it says in verse 7, these manifestations are given of the Spirit to every man to profit withal. Now, what are these gifts or manifestation? For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these, talking about the nine manifestations of the Spirit we just read about, worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, listen, dividing to every man or woman severally as he wills. Now, when I read every man here, I added and woman, because we're talking about to every man, like mankind. A woman is part of mankind. A man is part of mankind. So women are used in these gifts as well, is the point I'm trying to bring out here. Okay. Now, all these nine gifts are worked by that self-same Spirit of God, and He divides these gifts to every man as He wills. Now, what it means here is that these are, and if you've seen them in manifestation, I'm sure most of you have, these are temporary manifestations of the Spirit. For example, the word of wisdom may come forth, and it will just be an instantaneous thing of the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom, and will just be for that time and that place brought forth as the Spirit wills. This is not something that can be manifested or dredged up, so to speak, as we will. For example, let's say I'm used in the word of wisdom sometime in a public gathering. Well, just because I was used that one time by the Holy Spirit in a special manifestation does not mean that I can go forth at any time I want to and bring forth that gift, even if I think it needs to be brought forth. No, it has to be at the unction of the Holy Spirit. So we have to be a little bit careful in using these gifts. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is brought forth to reveal the gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is brought forth to reveal what we need to operate in the gifts, and that's love, to do it well. And 1 Corinthians 14 is showing us how these gifts are manifested and operated in the body of Christ. Okay, we've covered now the nine gifts of the Spirit and just mentioned what they are. Now let's talk a little bit about what is revealed here in verse 5 as the administrations of the Lord. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 here. Start with verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now notice here that we're talking about something here that's a gift of Christ, as contrasted with what we just talked about as a manifestation of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there were nine gifts of the Spirit, nine manifestations of the Spirit. Now we're talking about this thing revealed in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or Romans chapter 12, the difference of administrations, but the same Lord. Now you see here in verse 7, we're talking about every one of us is given grace according to a measure of the gift of Christ. So this is something coming from Jesus. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about Jesus. All right? And so when he was raised up from the dead and ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. Verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all things, that he might fill all things. Now we're going to get to the meat of what we're talking about here on these gifts. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. And why did he do this? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, or his body. Till we all come in a unity of the faith and a knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So these five ministries, the fivefold ministry is called sometimes, are more or less full-time ministries. I should say they are full-time ministries. If God calls you to be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, this is something that's going to run throughout your life. This is going to be your calling for pretty much your entire life. As contrasted to the nine gifts of the Spirit that we just read about, which are temporarily manifested and only upon occasion as the Spirit wills. So in first case, we had manifestations of the Spirit, of which there were nine. Here we have some administrations of the Lord, this time from Jesus. The first time it was from the Holy Spirit. This is from the Lord. And these are the full-time ministry gifts. And we'll find out later there are some other services talked about in chapter 12 of Romans that are performed by the members of the body of Christ to help others in specific individual ways. But we won't go into that in detail now. What I'd like to just bring out now is the fact that there are gifts or manifestations of the Spirit, there are administrations of the Lord, and there are diverse operations of God that God brings forth to help either believers or unbelievers, depending on the situation. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and reread now verses 4 through 6. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And we just read in this same chapter the nine gifts of or manifestations of the Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. We saw administrations by the Lord Jesus in Ephesians chapter 4, of which there were five full-time ministries, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Now, verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Okay, so now we're talking here about diverse operations of God, or God the Father. And what are these? How do these differ from the giftings or the manifestations of the Spirit in verse 4, the administration of the Lord in verse 5? Well, these are diverse operations of God, which are really sovereign acts of God manifested as He wills without using a human go-between or channel. You see the difference? In the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit worked with individuals, through individuals, to bring about these gifts, whether it was the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, or whatever it was. He worked through a channel or a human being to manifest this gift for the body of Christ at that instantaneous point in time. The administrations of the Lord in Ephesians 4, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, are more or less permanent, but they are also manifested through individuals. Like if you're a teacher, you're a person. If you're an evangelist, you're a person. Now, the operations of God differ a bit from these first two in that these are sovereign acts of God that do not require a human go-between. Just something God wants to do, and He does it. This is an operation of God. There's so many in the Bible that one could think of. Let me just put out there one that just comes to mind. One example might be in John chapter 5, if you recall, where, well, let's just turn back there for a second. This is a good example of a manifestation and operation of God that didn't require a human go-between. Verse 1 in chapter 5 of John, and this is just to bring out one of many, many sovereign acts of God in the Bible. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now you can see there was a pool at which a great multitude of people lay around. And every once in a while, an angel would come down, trouble the water, and whoever got to the pool first and touched the water was healed. Now that would be a sovereign act of God. Jesus didn't do it. It wasn't a gift of the Spirit. It was just something God wanted to do, and He did it. So this was a diverse operation of God. And I'm just giving this right now to be an example of one of the operations of God that we might talk about, something that He did on His own. Sovereign act of God, without any intervention of man in between. And so that's the distinction I make between the diverse operations of God, where God just does some sovereign act on His own without working through man, and the first two, which were gifts of the Holy, or manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and administrations of the Lord, which do work through people. Now, one thing I'd like to bring out here in this lesson is that we can see the whole Trinity of God working here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We see diversities of gifts or manifestations by the same Spirit. We see administrations, differences of administrations by the same Lord, Jesus. And we see the diversities of operations or sovereign acts of God by God the Father. And so we can see the whole Trinity working here to bring about good to mankind in various ways. Now, one other thing I'd like to bring out here is to bring out the fact that These giftings, operations, manifestations, and offices in the body of Christ involve the whole Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Father. And folks, this is a great responsibility and privilege that we have as the body of Christ. God has entrusted his entire plan for ministry on the earth, now that Jesus has gone back and is sitting at the Father's right hand, to us to do these works. Remember, Jesus said that he was going away, and the works that he did, we would do also. So this is the time, folks. This is the dispensation and age when the body of Christ is to be doing the works that Jesus did, and even greater works, as he talked about, as we've talked in past lessons in John 14:12. And so we see here a great responsibility and privilege that the entire plan of God for his church rests in our hands as members of the body of Christ as we carry out his will using these gifts, offices given to each one of us. And folks, just as Jesus had this responsibility while he was on earth, now this responsibility has been transferred to his body, the church. And we saw that in the Great Commission that we talked about in previous lessons, where both in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four Gospels gave us pieces of the Great Commission that the body of Christ is to carry out in Jesus' bodily absence. He's given us his Spirit now, and he's given us these individual giftings, office, ministries, administrations to work in this world for this age and this hour. And so the whole Trinity of God is manifesting itself to us and through us to work these giftings in the world. Now, if we don't do this, folks, it won't get done. And I didn't realize this when I was a younger Christian, just the great responsibility God has put upon us and how much he desires that each member of the body find and fulfill their gifting to either the body of Christ or to the world. Now, a teacher's ministry is more to the body of Christ, whereas the evangelist's ministry is more to the world. So we see that God wants to minister both to the world and to members of his body. Now, if you turn back to Ephesians chapter 4 again, we'll see the truth of this. Ephesians chapter 4 again. Right after the Word of God gives us the gifts and administrations that Jesus gave to the body of Christ, which are the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, it gives the reason and it gives who these gifts are given to. Now listen what the reason is. He gave these gifts for the perfecting of the saints. So that would be a ministry that does that, would minister to the body of Christ. He gave it for the work of the ministry. Now that could be to the body of Christ or to the world. Like the evangelist, his ministry is to the unsaved world primarily. Okay? It's given for the edifying of the body of Christ. Again, they're given for building up or edifying the body of Christ. And how long will these gifts be given? Well, till we all come into a unity of the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, which means mature man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then it tells us why. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him, talking about the body of Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so you see, folks, these giftings and ministries, administrations and offices have been given to the world and to the body of Christ for our profiting. So today what I wanted to get across in this lesson is the fact that the whole Trinity is involved in giving gifts to the body of Christ, to manifest those gifts either to the body of Christ or to the world. Now, the Holy Spirit has a part in this. He plays through the manifestation of the Spirit, of which there were nine, which we talked about briefly. Jesus brings administrations to the world in the form of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And God brings sovereign acts of His to the world through diverse operations of God. So I wanted to bring forth just a general picture today of, number one, that every member of the body of Christ has a part to play in these gifts, offices, administrations, or ministries. Number two, that the whole Trinity is involved in this. So it's very important. God the Holy Spirit is involved in the nine gifts or manifestations of the Holy Spirit. God the Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is involved in giving the administrations or the fivefold ministry gifts, and we'll find out a few later, but I don't want to confuse you now, that He brings to the body of Christ. And we see that God the Father Himself brings about sovereign acts given to profit humanity, which aren't used through members of the body or members of any particular member. It's just done at His will, on His own, by Himself. So we have here gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are nine, administrations of the Lord, which include the five full-time ministries, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, given by Jesus. And we see operations of God, which are sovereign acts of God, not covered in the first two, giftings or manifestations of the Holy Spirit, or administrations of the Lord, but are sovereign acts of God that He does when He wills, just to bring about some work that He wants to work in this world to profit humanity. And so I just wanted to bring that broad approach to this whole area of gifts and ministries in the body of Christ so that we get some broad picture of how it's brought about in terms of bringing about through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, and through God the Father Himself, and where He brings it forth through people, all of us have a part to play, or by Himself as a sovereign act of God. In the next lesson, we'll go into some more detail about these manifestations of the Spirit. In a future lesson, we'll go about in further detail about the administrations of the Lord. And we'll also go in some further detail about these sovereign acts of God. But for today, I just wanted to bring about this broad picture. And we'll get back to probably in the next lesson, we'll talk about the reasons for these giftings and then get into the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, those nine manifestations in more detail. But that's enough for today. I think you've got a broad picture of these gifts, ministries, operations, and administrations. And then the next lessons, we'll get into more detail. This is homework for lesson HBS 131. And the title of this lesson is The Gifts and Ministries in the Body, Part 1. So here's the homework. First question, true or false? Virtually all the works of Jesus, except one, will also be done by the body of Christ. The answer to this is true. Jesus said in John 14:12, "The works that I do shall ye do also, and even greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto the Father." And so the works that Jesus did, we will also do, except the one work Jesus did, where He went to the cross for mankind. And of course, we'll never do that work. That's a one-time gift given to the world that will never be duplicated again. But all the other gifts, or all the other works that Jesus did, the body of Christ will do as well. Next question, true or false? Most members of the body of Christ will be expected by God to perform some service, either to the body of Christ or to the world. Is that true or false? Well, as we've seen from our studies, that's true. Each member of the body of Christ will be expected by God to perform some service, either to the body of Christ or to the world. And to accomplish this, of course, we were given some gifts, and that's the point of this lesson. And we'll get more into that as we go through the homework. Next question, true or false? We will all have the same gifts, but will differ in how we perform them. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. We're not all going to have the same gifts. The Word of God tells us that we have gifts differing.
God distributes these gifts, offices, administrations through the body as it pleases him. And so we're not all going to have the same gifts. The answer to this question then would be false. Next question, true or false? No, we will in general have different gifts and ministries that will be given by God as he chooses. Is that true or false? Well, that is true. Next question. The blank blank manifests the nine gifts of the blank as blank wills. And I want you to fill in the blanks. Okay, the answer to this question then is the Holy Spirit manifests the nine gifts of the Spirit as he wills. So in the blanks goes Holy Spirit, Spirit, and he. Next question. When Jesus ascended to the Father's right hand, he gave blank unto blank. What is the answer to this question? Well, Ephesians 4 tells us when Jesus ascended to the Father's right hand, he gave gifts unto men. So gifts and men go in these two blanks. Next question. Name the five full-time ministries or administrations that Jesus gave to the church. And that's also in Ephesians chapter 4. And the five full-time ministries or administrations, sometimes called the fivefold ministry, are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Those five. Next question, true or false? Jesus is the one who manifests the nine manifestations or gifts, and he does it as he wills. Is that true or false? Well, we've just seen that the Holy Spirit is the one that does this, so that would be false. Next question. True or false? The administrations of the Lord are gifts that are manifested through a member of the body of Christ on a temporary basis. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. We learned that the administrations of the Lord, which are these five full-time ministries, and there's a few more for the body of Christ that we'll get into later, they're gifts that are manifested through members of the body more or less on a permanent basis, unlike the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are an instantaneous manifestation of the Spirit operating through a member of the body of Christ. These are more or less permanent gifts. For example, a pastor, that's his calling for life. And so this is why the answer to this question should be false. It's not a temporary basis. It's more on a full-time basis. Next question, true or false? The body will not operate as it should without all of us taking our place in the body. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. If some of us don't operate in the gifts and ministries or offices that the Lord has given us, then the body will be lacking in some degree. And God, it will make it more difficult for God to get his will done on earth in ministering to his body and to a lost world. So to the answer to this question is true. Next question, true or false? The operations of God are sovereign acts of God manifested as he wills. Now, when we talk here about the operations of God, we're talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about manifestations of the Spirit, administrations of the Lord, talking about Jesus, and operations of God. So that's what I'm referring to here. And so the answer to this question would be true. These operations, these sovereign acts of God, are manifested as he wills. And unlike the other two divisions that we talked about, that is the nine manifestations of the Spirit and the administrations of the Lord Jesus, these don't require human intervention normally. It's just a sovereign act of God that he does on his own. So he doesn't need to have a human go-between as a channel like the other two types of giftings require. Next question. True or false? The whole Trinity is involved in bringing gifts, administrations, and operations to the body and to the world. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. We've just seen that the whole Trinity is involved here. The Holy Spirit, God the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and God the Father himself. Next question. Name the member of the Trinity who manifests the nine gifts as he wills. Well, this is kind of a repeat of a previous question, but I just want to make sure you understand and have gotten the point of the lesson. The member of the Trinity who manifests the nine gifts as he wills is the Holy Spirit. And that's what should go in these two blanks. Name the member of the Trinity who gave gifts unto men in the form of the five full-time ministry gifts. Who did that? Well, Ephesians 4 tells us that was done by Jesus. So the answer to this question would be Jesus, or you could say the Lord, either one. Name the member of the Trinity who performs sovereign acts that do not usually involve a human go-between or agent. Who would that be? Well, that would be God the Father. Next question. Who said, "The works that I do, shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do"? Who said that? Well, that is Jesus. Next question. Who was he talking about, and what was the scripture that tells us this? All right, who was Jesus talking about, and he says, "The works that I do, shall ye do also"? Well, folks, if you go back and you read John 14:12, and that's where Jesus said this, and I'll just read it to you to make sure I get every word just perfect. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So who was he talking about here? He says, "He that believeth on me," that would be believers. So believers goes in the first blank. And what is the scripture that tells us this? Well, I just quoted it, John 14:12. So in these two blanks goes believers, and the second blank, John 14:12. Next question, true or false? All the gifts, administrations, and operations are given to the body to carry out God's will on earth. Is that true or false? Well, that, of course, is true. Next question. Just as Jesus had this responsibility while on earth, this responsibility has now been transferred to his body, the church. If the body doesn't do these works, they won't get done. Is that true or false? Well, folks, that's true. You know, Jesus isn't going to come back down here and walk the earth again to get these works done. It says now he's gone to the Father's right hand, and that's where he stays. All right? And so he entrusted us to do these works. And he's given us the same Holy Spirit that he had when he did the works to do these works. So we don't really have any excuse if we're believers. We have the power. We have everything we need to do the works. And all we need to do is to obey and to find out what particular giftings that he's given us, and then to carry out operating these gifts and ministries and administrations to the world or to the body of Christ. And we'll find out in future lessons more detail about these gifts, ministries, and administrations. So the answer to this question then is true. We now have this responsibility. And if we don't do these works, they won't get done. Next question, a last question. This is a responsibility that each member will answer for when they meet Jesus. And then I give some scriptures. And then I talk from my own heart and I say, "I personally want a well done, good and faithful servant." How about you? So answer this question on your own. I'm not going to give you a right answer on this one. I want you to answer this on your own, whether this is true or false, and then a yes or no at the end of this question. All right, then, that completes the homework for this lesson.